Well, child sexual abuse has been linked to the high rates of sexually transmitted diseases in the Indigenous community lately. But is this really the case? STIs can harm Indigenous communities not just physically, but also socially, increasing stigma and shame. Henry Tyre reports on the underlying causes and sheds some light on the real problem.
The prevalence of sexually transmitted diseases in our Indigenous communities is alarming. With a syphilis outbreak prematurely ending the lives of six babies, how can we fix the problem? James Ward, Associate Professor at the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, says education is one of several factors to address the high rate of STIs.
Education is a critical component to STI control, and so particularly in remote areas, we've seen very few programs that have been successful. Education alone is not going to bring these very high rates of STIs down. But what we have seen is a pattern of defunding programs in recent years, particularly in education programs, particularly programs that have been developed taking into account the context and situation of young people living in remote communities. And that's unacceptable that these programs have been cut over a little while. Education is but one of the strategies that are required to address STIs in these communities. Education is one, clinical service delivery is another, improving health literacy is another, access to clinical care services is another.
Though some reports emphasise incidents such as the alleged rape of a child in Tennant Creek as an example of the rising STI rates, this is not the primary cause.
The majority of STIs that are reported in remote communities are reported among people aged 16 to 29 years of age, the great majority of them. There are STIs that are diagnosed in people less than 16 years of age, and the majority of those are diagnosed in people aged 13 to 15, who are more likely to be having sex with their similar age peers, and they happen to live in communities where prevalence is extremely high. Now, there are a small handful of STIs notified each year in under 13-year-olds, and most probably they are a consequence of child sexual abuse. But the issue that often gets reported is the conflation of STIs to child sexual abuse. Child sexual abuse should be stamped out in any community, in all of Australian communities, but the issue of STIs really is a matter of our health services and the system not being adequately addressed to meet the prevalence of disease in these communities.
Addressing STIs in communities may need a different approach and better resourcing to stamp out the problem.
Resourcing is one aspect that needs to be addressed. So in terms of resourcing, I think we need a properly skilled and trained and appropriate workforce to address STIs in communities. I think that's very important. We need resourcing for education programs for young people, and we need to start early, and we need to think holistically about it. We need to think about STIs more broadly in terms of some of the policy aspects, so things like starting early with young people about building resilience skills, for instance. Secondly, thinking about STI control, not in a siloed approach, which is often what we do, but thinking also about what impact does alcohol restrictions have on STI control. I think we need to elevate STIs up in the Aboriginal health agenda. They're often down the bottom end. They're a preventative health issue, and we need to actually elevate them up into the agenda. Some other big ticket policy items, I think, would be to include STIs in the refresh of the Close the Gap campaign, which is currently underway now, and will address hopefully both morbidity in Aboriginal communities but also mortality, which was the focus of the first Close the Gap period.
Policies on alcohol may also be an interesting area to explore when it comes to STI reductions.
I think the supply reduction programs, although they haven't been kind of evaluated positively on STI outcomes, I think that's a piece of work that needs to be done. So the restrictions on alcohol supply and their impact on STI control is a new area of work that we're currently considering. And I think there was some positive results from the Kimberley region where alcohol restrictions were in place, and there was a significant reduction over a very short period of time in STI incidents in those communities. So I think there are some promising signs, and I think we need to go further down that track and evaluate alcohol restriction programs or alcohol supply and programs on the burden of disease related to sexually transmissible infections.
Associate Professor James Ward from the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, ending that report by Henry Tye.